and then Shaq in his last four seasons. And it's crazy, but when old, when tall guys get really old, it looks weird. Isn't it weird to see a guy like who's like 70 and 7 foot?
Definitely, definitely crazy. I recognize him right away.
It's kind of freaky, and I realize, you know, guys who are over, you know what a standard door height is?
Yeah.
6'8".
Yeah.
That's standard door height. So anything higher than that, you're whacking your head your entire life. Anyone taller than 6'8", has to duck. And once you start ducking, you just duck all the time.
So like,
Bill Russell walks through the airport ducking. You know, he's scared he's going to, you know, get clipped by some landing gear or something, or whack his head on some sign or something. It's just weird to see guys that are 7 foot and 70 years old. And creepy. You ever shake hands like an old big guy who's a big hand guy?
Like, if a guy, Ichabod Crane.
Yeah, like once in a while you'll meet some guy who's 6'8", and he's 65, and he's still got that huge lurch hand on him, but you think, I could probably kick his ass, and then you think, all right, he could fall on me or something, I could get hurt. But anyway, it's good to see Everlast. I guess we saw him at the, I guess it was the Billboard Awards. Yeah. I saw him last at, and you look good. You look, I don't know, you 10 pounds lighter or something?
I've lost a little weight recently, but I got some hair. I got, you know.
Yeah, you got hair.
Freaking
hair.
Freaked me out.
Yeah. And how's the last time I guess you were in here about a year ago. We were talking about your heart valve replacement and all that stuff. Yeah. How's that going?
It's all lovely, man.
Feel strong?
Every day.
Feel good?
Every day.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Eat It Whitey's is the name of the CD. It is out, and Everlast is going to be, well, he's been touring, but the big one coming up is tomorrow night over at the House of Blues. And what time do you figure you're hitting the stage?
Whenever everybody gets there.
All right. So get there, what, about 2:30, 3 in the afternoon?
Yeah.
And
that'll be good for the sound check.
And get up front. Drew and I have actually had to do a sound check before, haven't we, Drew?
No.
They were asked to do one?
Yes.
Right. How'd the sound check go? Do you remember that?
Where was that?
We were doing a college, and they were like, we're doing a lecture at a college. And they're like, listen, you better swing by the arena, do a quick sound check before you go to the hotel.
Yeah.
I said, listen, here's how we'll do it. You go out on stage, put the mic in front of your mouth.
Yeah, right.
Talk. If a guy can hear you, that's good. We're going to the hotel.
We've never done a sound check. That's right.
But at least we're approached to do one, and that's how you know you've arrived. But what goes on in these sound checks? I mean, why do you got to do one every show? Because every venue's different?
Yeah, the rooms are different. You know, you want your front house guy to get the sounds right. You do line checks to make sure every line is working.
The point is, why can't somebody do it for you?
Yeah. Can somebody do it
for you? Everybody does most of it for you. I show up like for the last 15 minutes of it, and okay, sounds great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's it.
It's going on most of the day, like setting up and all that.
And then, now, where will you go? Will you go upstairs to one of those cool private rooms up at the House of Blues and wait it out, or you go back home and come back again?
I'll probably go home and come back again.
Nice. Yeah, that's big time.
That's a move to make.
All right, so we're going to hear something from Everlast before, well, actually, we'll hear a couple of cuts off the new CD before the night is finished.
I just remind you, by the way, that we're often hearing stuff from Everlast when you do Team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
I got a backhand like John McEnroe, right?
I got the backhand like John McEnroe. That beach steps up, I'm smocking the hole.
That's right. That's Tim, the fat white Russian rapper, who's an actual human being who I've met on more than one occasion.
Those beaches are dope.
That's great. This kid was 11. He was 250 pounds. He was from Russia, and he loved House of Pain. He loved Snoop Dogg. He loved everything. And I couldn't even figure out his name. What's your name? Team? Tim? Team? Tim? Team? Like a basketball team? No, team. Team. Tim? Team. Okay. I'm going to call you Tim, okay? Yes, it is Team. Why can't guys learn to pronounce their own name? Don't you think some of these foreigners are just giving us a hard time?
You a hard time.
Like my barber, the guy who is from... My barber's from Spain, and he says, I'm thinking about trading in my Bobo for a sob. And I said, wait a minute. You're trading in your Bobo for a sob? Yes, yes, that is what I'm going to do. I said, oh, well, hold on, Oscar, Volvo, 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 Volvo. Okay, forget about Volvo. Let's go to Saab now.
Got the B down.
Let's go to Saab. You got the B down. Let's go to Saab now. Saab. 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 Now, Oscar, you just did the B. You did the B on Volvo.
Right.
Now just put it on the back of Saab. Saab. Okay, now let's go back to Volvo. Volvo. Okay. Now look, we know you can do a B and a V. Why must you flip-flop them this way? Just couldn't do it. Just impossible. He had to put a pencil in his mouth. Cross his mouth, like there. And he'd go, Saab. After like 20 minutes, I'm like, okay, just cut the hair. Enough with the burlesque. But to me, that's just passive-aggressive, isn't it? When you can say both letters, but you refuse to use it in the right car.
Yeah.
It's Bobo for a Saab.
Well, he said that your hair must go down. Stood up.
Yeah, he clipped it real quick. Got all the ones on the back of my neck. Carol?
Yes.
You're 23.
Yes, I have this problem. Well, not really a problem. It's kind of a good thing. I have multiple orgasms in my sleep. That I don't know. I have a vibrator. I dream about it. And I can actually control how many I have and when it stops.
You dream about your vibrator?
Yeah, for some reason it just popped in my head, and I was like, have multiple orgasms.
Do you do that in real life?
No, I don't at all.
Can you?
I'm on Tepo Provera. I thought, that might be something.
Yeah, it can change your sex drive, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, up or down.
It's inconsistent. From last month, I've had it three times, and I only had it once before that.
Hold on.
January last year.
Did you understand what that statement meant?
No, but I couldn't get over her dreaming about her vibrator. I mean, talk about low self-esteem. You dream, you might as well go Tom Selleck, you know? You're going vibrator. Did your vibrator talk to you?
No, I didn't. It was just there.
You were just using it. It wasn't like Mr. Vibrator.
It's just a dream.
I see. But it wasn't like Kazoo on the Flintstones.
No, wasn't it? No. I think that it was.
Well, down,
well, dumb, dumb.
Masturbating again, I see. Get out of here. The big bowling tournament's tonight. You want to win, don't you?
Well, I think that I would.
I can use my vibrating skills to knock over those pins.
Okay.
All right, I see. Okay. Well, listen, Carol, you first off, you need a cat. When you're dreaming about...
One.
Oh, okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Why?
Hey, I don't know. It's just when you're dreaming about a vibrator, it's time for a cat and some cable.
I mean,
you know what I mean? You
realize.
Yeah, you got to start bringing some things into the apartment.
That's your version of a chick life, see?
Right, okay. Yeah. That's okay. A chick for a guy, I'd say, needs to, go to a whore or something like that. For a girl, I'd say, you need a cat, you got to get some table.
I want a Christmas.
Yeah. What's the, you have a man?
No, I don't. Actually, that's the thing. I've been celibate since January when I started the depot just to be safe. I haven't been using it, but...
I'm just more curious that you can't use the vibrator in real life.
Well, I'm sorry?
You have trouble using the vibrator in your
life? No, I have no trouble using it. I just can't get to a multiple with it, but I have no problem using it. I choose to be celibate. I don't want to, have sex with anybody really right now.
Why?
I don't think I'm...
Uh-oh. What happened?
Well, I don't know. I just came out of a hard relationship.
What happened?
I don't know. He kind of made me feel pretty unattractive about myself.
Why?
I don't know. He was neurotic. He was somebody I thought was too smart for his own good.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was miserable because he was just, I don't know.
Right. Just for kids.
Too big a genius to drive that truck.
Yeah, what does he do for a living?
He's a roofer.
Genius roofer. Yeah.
Yeah,
let me tell you, too smart to be a roofer means you got a 75 IQ. Most of those guys you're hot mopping with are around 45, 50. I never met a smart roofer in my life.
Are you kidding? Solve and figure it out.
Roofing is the bottom of the construction barrel. Sheetrocker, tin knocker maybe, and then roofer. Roofer's lowest. Nothing lower than a roofer. Oh, they're dregs of society. There's roofers.
Yeah. He's last on my list, so you can say anything you want.
All right, well, good. Well, he's an idiot, so why don't you just find yourself a guy and stop
freaking out?
I don't really want a guy right now.
So why do you believe what guys tell you? You believe that he was a genius? You believe that his perception of you was accurate, that you were unattractive? I mean, this is all distortion.
He was a genius roofer. He wrote his thesis on flashing.
I'm sorry?
That's the sheet metal that goes around the, goes around the scuppers and things like that. All right. I could have said parapet. All right, Carol. Listen, you lose some weight and get some self-esteem.
Oh, dude, I am 104 pounds. That is not even a lie.
Really?
Not even a lie. I used to be on Celexa. Way lost weight.
Okay, man.
I don't want to be categorized as overweight.
Or he was wondering.
Okay, then get your teeth, fixed and get yourself a new man.
I'm kind of like chunky.
Okay.
That's great.
Are your teeth good?
My teeth are straight and they're clean too.
Okay, if you got straight teeth and a small ass, there's no excuse.
No, there's no excuse. I just, nobody's good enough for me right now.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I just, I'm interested in no relationships.
All right, good.
Reasonable.
Good, don't have any kids.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true. I'm on.
Okay, good touch.
He's on death row. He's on death row.
Genius, Rupert.
I bug out and just sometimes hearing, like, I'm on this, I was on that, and I'm like, wow, that's like the day and age we live in.
Yeah, a lot of medication.
Kind of trips me out a little bit.
Yeah, it is wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, death row at least is a good thing, because that's prevent her daughter of genius having babies.
But look at it this way.
Girlfriend of genius.
I know everyone seems like they're on something, and that doesn't seem like a good sign, but a few hundred years ago, she would have been thrown down a well. I mean, right? She would have burned at a stake or
wrong,
something.
You're
don't
so
you think,
wrong. Dude.
You don't think so? I think so. I would have been leading that.
Stoned, maybe, yeah.
All right, stoned. Good enough.
If she floats, she lives.
The righteous will float and have nothing to worry about. Jennifer?
Mm-hmm.
You're 20.
Yeah. I just want to say I'm speaking for, like, all the girls who've had a baby and who cannot get back into the swing of things.
Yeah, how long has this been going on for you?
Well, let's see. I had a baby 7 months ago.
Yeah, usually at 6 months things start to come back biologically.
But, you know, like, before I had the baby, you know, everything was cool. I was happy with my sex life, and right now I'm driving my husband crazy. Because
Is it your biology shut down, or is it the stress of taking care of the baby, or what is it?
I pretty much handle myself with the baby, but, you know, I don't crave sex.
So it's biological shutdown. Are you on pills, a birth control pill right now?
No, I use condoms.
Sometimes going on the triphasic pill helps turn things back on again.
Really?
Yeah, and women sometimes need some help with some, this sort of medication can be helpful to get the libido going again. And sometimes a little kickstart will bring it around. It is a biological event predominantly that most women can be shut down. There are lots of causes. It's not all that well understood, but there are clearly some very substantial hormonal changes after pregnancy.
Uh-huh.
Some of that causes mood disturbances. Have you been depressed at all?
Yeah, I got depression.
Yeah, so the postpartum depression can contribute to this. And then God knows the stress of dealing with a child. And then weird perceptual notions that people get about what it is to be a parent.
Why are you using condoms?
We just use condoms. I mean, that's what I've always used.
Oh, yeah. Well, it
works fine.
Yeah, like a charm. Go for what you know.
Yeah, I know.
Now, listen, Jennifer, it's your husband, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird using, I think it's weird using a condom with your husband or wife.
Really?
It's kind of, it just feels weird. Yeah, once you get on the pill, maybe that'll kickstart the vagina and you get back into the good sex there.
We'll see, like, all
can the vagina be kickstarted?
Just kick.
But just kick?
Yeah.
You couldn't bump start a vagina, like roll it down a hill and
throw it in a second?
Throw it in a second and pop the clutch?
Yeah.
We'll see, like, you know, like, before I got with him, I had, like, a few sexual partners.
Is he around right now?
Huh?
Is he nearby right now?
Nah, he's at home.
Were you at work?
Yeah, I'm at work.
What kind of work you doing at an airport?
I'm a CNA.
Nurse.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
So.
Like in a nursing home?
Yeah. For Alzheimer's.
Oh, boy, those places
are wild. Yeah, it gets wild over here, but I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing you're not horny.
Mm-hmm.
You don't come home all worked up after having some guy in his 80s fling feces at you and think you're his daughter. Try to kill you with a bedpan.
You know what's interesting, Deborah? Most people in this country don't really understand what this is you deal with.
No.
It's interesting when people's minds don't work right.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing. And people don't understand what that biology is unless you see it a lot, like Jennifer does.
Oh, my God. I couldn't imagine going to that. Essentially, you're working around sort of, you might as well get a job at a morgue, right? I mean, this is the Walking Dead. Am I right?
Well, some of them are very colorful and happy and making jokes and talking to themselves.
Yeah, that's like before noon, and then by 2, they're trying to kill you.
Yeah,
they're right?
Violent sometimes, but yeah.
But, I mean, you're dealing with old people who aren't going to get any better.
No.
who are basically dying,
pacing around. No, they may be in sort of suspended animation more than anything.
But basically, we've set up this, like, it's a sort of like a summer camp, but summer never ends.
Mm-hmm.
And they never get to go. Mm-hmm. And they're poor grieving kids and family and grandkids show up and just sort of cry about them not being able to remember them.
No, they don't. It's people. It's interesting when people don't really, it's very hard for them to process, like, family members. And so they usually end up going, Grandpa, leave him for lunch. And they live. He wanted peas. He wanted peas. You didn't get him peas for,
right?
All kinds of
things. Oh, they don't accept it.
No. Very rare for somebody to really be processing or falling.
All right. Well, she needs to get off the condom, get on the pill, and get back on her husband. Adam?
Yeah.
You're 16. What's up?
How's it going?
Good.
Hey, Everlast, I really enjoy your music.
Well, thank you very much, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, Adam, I also respect the fact that you can say something completely racist, then after like 2 minutes of explaining it, make it sound okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, like Mother Teresa has a nice rack or something like that.
Thank
and
you.
You know, what? And then like after, 2 minutes, Mother Teresa does kind of have a nice rack.
Well, thank you.
Nice long rack.
Get people to believe like I do. It's great. You know, I think Hitler and Stalin possessed those traits too, right?
I think they did.
Some used car salesman
might
also possess those traits.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Same gene pool.
No problem. I actually had a question for Dr. Drew.
Uh-huh.
I took a friend's Ritalin, and, I don't have ADD at all, but it helped me, like, during test taking and driving and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Is that a bad thing, or should I not do it? Well,
how often are you doing that?
I just took it, like, twice.
What is that, like, just speed,
you know,
if you don't have that condition?
Basically. Do you have any alcoholism in your family?
No.
You sure?
No. But in Ritalin, do you get dependent on it? Or
you can, yeah. If you're, but you have to have that biological predisposition.
No, I don't.
Well, what do you mean it helped you during driving?
It, tunnel vision, it really helps you concentrate and that sort of thing.
But like with anything else in nature,
are you on the NASCAR circuit or are you just going home from the Dairy Queen?
Just going home from the Dairy Queen.
Right, you don't need drugs to make it home from the Dairy Queen, Adam.
All right. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Okay. All right,
but it helped with the driving.
I'm just suspicious. You know, most non-addicts don't do a bunch of drugs.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, makes sense.
So,
all right. Well, Adam, why don't you see if you can stay away from that for a little while?
All right.
And then we can find out whether you're an addict or not.
Sure.
All right, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
I was 16.
Yeah.
Maybe it's ADD. Maybe it's ADD.
You know, when I was in high school, there wasn't any pills around.
Right.
You know, because...
You know, like somebody did those cross tops and those Black Beauties.
No.
You didn't?
Black Beauties? That was later.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding? Am I copying to something that you're kidding about? Here's the point. Like Quaaludes were really hot for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The Quaaludes were gone by the time I got to high school, right, Drew? Like, what was Quaaludes' heyday?
70s.
Early 70s,
yeah,
mid-70s?
Mid-70s.
Right, I didn't get to high school until early 80s, late 70s. So there was no Quaaludes around. There wasn't really much going on. Like, I was in high school, like, 80 to 83 or 79 to 82, right in there. There didn't seem to be anything floating around.
Pills, yeah.
Yeah, no good pills.
Speed didn't really
hit. I'd like to make up for that now.
No doubt you have.
Yeah, get some Quaaludes or something. I still never tried it. You ever tried a Quaalude?
I can't say that I have. I think back in the day we tried fake Quaaludes.
Right.
Like, they were referred to as, like, Gorilla Biscuits.
But they weren't the pharmaceutical ones.
Yeah, I don't think so, no.
Drew, can you still get those?
No.
Jeremy?
Yes.
You're 24.
Yes.
Are you just saying that so you won't have to give me some?
No.
That's your talk.
Jeremy.
Because even if we're available, yes, that's right, I don't want to give you some.
My question is for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
When me and my fiancé, we make love, recently my penis has been getting raw. I'm circumcised, so I don't know, I've never had that. You know, before.
How long are you guys doing your thing?
How long do we do it at a time?
Yeah.
Oh, about 30 minutes. Sometimes 10 minutes, you know.
Does she get dry?
Yeah, she gets dry. But
does she have any pain?
Yeah.
Because sometimes herpes can do this.
Herpes?
Yeah, sometimes. She ought to be examined, or either of you ought to be examined, just to see if there's any evidence of anything like that. Otherwise, you're really dealing with just some friction irritation.
Well, if she's dry and you're still going at it,
yeah,
it's going to do it, right?
Yeah.
And where are you, on the road?
Yeah.
You driving a truck?
Yeah.
Sounds like it. Like an 18-wheeler?
No, it's just my pickup truck.
Well, it sounds like it. Sounds like you got something under the hood there.
Yeah, a little something.
All right. So, yeah, she's dried out. Why don't you get some lubrication going?
Okay.
That what couldn't hurt. Like a multi-weight, like a 30.
1040?
Yeah, like a 1040 is good. It depends. During the winter, I go down in viscosity. Weather gets cold, oil thickens up. During the summer, I go with like 2050, something thicker. Maybe even add a little additive to it.
That's what she suggested.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, so all right. Get a little lubrication and see if that works.
All right, thank
you. And give yourself a few days to heal up there, too.
All right.
Wow.
You ever watch those late-night infomercials where they're dumping stuff into the engine crankcase and then they're driving it around with no oil in it?
Absolutely nothing in it.
Right. Yeah, I get such a boner for those things. Like, Drew, you know what you don't do? You don't go home and watch 4 hours of TV after the show.
Yes.
I go home every night, I drink a bottle of red wine, and I watch these infomercials. I ordered 2 Wonder Moths a few months back. The deal is, so they get these engines, and they're like, we took this engine. It's not enough that they just drive an engine with no oil in it. We froze it in a block of ice. Then we took off the radiator and replaced it with a gravel hopper. We dumped gravel right into the crankcase of the engine. Then we ran it in the Mojave Desert, towing a boat up a hill. It's like crazy. The engine never stops. We take they always have like a certified guy there.
A scientist.
Chip Barney from the Arkansas Fire Department. Yeah, Chip, yes, I'm here. You know, the guy with his arms crossed in case anything happens. He's prepared. He's got the hose truck running out there.
What's
the
commercial for?
Oh, whatever. There's a million
times
of them.
The engine? There's
no, they add it. They added it. It's all this added.
And that saves the engine.
Listen, you could drive from here to Alaska with no oil in your crankcase, and you'd be fine. Your car wouldn't even overheat.
As far as the ad goes.
Silicone. Yep.
So.
And I always think, I got to get some of that. And then I go, okay, tomorrow I'm going to order it. But then tomorrow, like, I sober up, and I'm not so excited about additives anymore. But the mop, I ordered on the spot. Because, you know, the mop, the test with the Wonder Mop, Shamu. Shamu jumped out of his tank and splashed a whole bunch of water up on the deck, and they got the Wonder Mop out and they cleaned it all up. And I thought, if a whale ever goes on in like my kitchen or something, I'm prepared, baby. I'm ready. Even a small porpoise. All right, Everlast is here. We're going to hear something off the new CD, Eat at Whitey's. He's going to be at the House of Blues tomorrow night. We'll come back, take some more calls, hear something from Everlast, all that after this. All right. Hey, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Everlast is our guest tonight. He's going to be at the House of Blues tomorrow night. Just telling the boys about model airplanes. Model jet airplanes. They couldn't have been more excited. They really couldn't have been.
I can't believe that's how much that engine costs.
Oh, my God.
Boring.
No. Chicks. Wait a chicks. You know, it's funny, too. So I fly these model airplanes, and everyone makes fun of me for doing it, at least everyone I know. The guys at the field, well, they don't make fun of me, but they're a bunch of guys in their 50s who still live at home.
Play Dungeons and Dragons.
Play Dungeons and
Dragons.
No, you know what? These guys, the guys who fly the model airplanes are more your gearhead than your tech head. Guys, you know the difference?
They still watch Star Trek.
No. Star Trek, D&D, those are computer guys.
No, strangely,
these guys all have an El Camino in their garage that's up on blocks, and they've been building the engine for the last 15 years, and the old lady's pissed off, and you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
These are tradesmen guys, drywallers and framers and stuff. This is the mechanical version of the tech head nerdy guy.
Yeah.
The same guy, but these guys drink, and they get in fights, and they're dirtier, and their wives hate them. Or they live at home.
They're fatter.
They're fatter, and they live at home.
Never Asian.
No. Okay. No Asian. And although you'll get one crazy Asian every once in a while. This one crazy, last guy I saw out there was Asian, was wearing virtual reality goggles. He had a camera on the front of his plane, and he was trying to fly his plane in a virtual reality.
From inside the cockpit.
From inside the cockpit while he was standing on the ground.
My model plane.
Oh, my God. And there was a crazy Asian guy who was jamming people's radio signals in like a van parked in the park across the street. That it's a long story, but the point is they don't make fun of me. Everyone else does. Thank you, Drew. And then, of course, every time I go by there, I see the plaque of the pilots who've left the hangar for the last time, which is all the guys who've died over the years. Not in model airplane accidents, just died. I think these guys die earlier. I think their diet's not so good. All right, so what were we talking about?
Remember that song?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You going to hear that? No. Anderson says no.
All right, let's talk about.
And then he turned back around. Oh, are you cleaning it up, Anderson? Yeah, that's what he's doing. All right, he's busy working on it.
Cleaned up.
We're going to sanitize it for your protection, and then we'll play it. Denise? Hey, and Anderson, not only do I want you to take out the swear words, but the rhyming words should go, too. Even if we're clean, all right? Enough of that rhyming. It's poisoning the kids' minds.
Denise is 31.
I got Bakhan like John McEnroe.
Right.
That beat steps up on smocking the hole.
Denise. So,
you're lucky I like you, man.
What's up, Denise?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey.
Well, I'm 31. I'm 8 months pregnant right now.
Mm.
Basically, the dad left me for a 19-year-old in my fifth month.
Mm.
And I've been letting him come around only because I was allowing him to go to Lamaze with me because I figured I didn't want to take away the birth of his child from him.
Wait a minute.
But every time I let him come around me, he will literally try to pull my pants down. If I'm doing dishes, he'll jam himself between the sink, get on his knees and try to go down on me. He's constantly trying to get on me. And he made his choice with the 19-year-old, so I don't see why, personally, he would want to do that. And my question is, for Dr. Drew mostly, how would you, I think he's a sex addict. It's either that or it's just old habit because we're...
Well, now wait a minute. I think you're confusing what motivates guys like this, right? He does stuff like that because you let him, because you invite him back into your life, because you've been sexual before, and he's an idiot, and he just assumes, well, we've done this before, so what the hell?
How old is he?
He's 33.
Wow. He's got some pretty big wavos.
Yeah, he's
5 months pregnant. He takes off with a 19-year-old. Who's the 19-year-old?
I have no idea. I've never met her or anything, but, I'm having a really hard pregnancy because of it. I'm trying to, I know in the future I'm going to have to be able to deal with him because he is the father of my child.
Yeah. Yeah,
but why not deal with him in a more structured way? Why have him in your house? Why let him do this to you? I mean, unless you're sort of ambivalent and you kind of maybe want to get him back into a relationship again.
Well, she does.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Well, I still love him. I mean,
right.
Sure.
So he's taking full advantage of that.
I mean, we've been best friends since we were 11 years old.
Ooh.
Not a good thing.
Your best friend knocked you out
and left you, for a 19-year-old.
Yeah, and his excuse was, well, I get along with her better.
Nice friend.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, who are your enemies?
Just day before yesterday, I basically cut him off and told him no more Lamaze and, talked to my teacher and stuff and my instructor, realizing that I'm going to be extremely vulnerable at that point, and I don't really want him in the room.
Yeah. No, and by the way, never has there been more a weaker threat than no more Lamaze for you.
Yeah.
Hey, from now on Monday nights, you're watching football, buddy. You understand me? You're drinking beer and hanging with buddies and watching football. No more going to the Y with me and the other chicks and helping us raise.
She's not,
that guy must have hooked that pretty hard.
She's having trouble
More Lamaze.
Understanding where he's coming from.
Well, he's an idiot.
He's totally idiot.
All right, but she has kind of low self-esteem. She's desperate.
Desperate is
codependent. Well, I mean, she's kind of, I see her sort of treading water in some ocean trying to grab on to something that's floating
by. Because she's pregnant, I bet if she weren't pregnant, she wouldn't feel quite this way. And I think she genuinely trusted this guy and loved him and wanted to make a family. Now she's completely left out.
He was with the idiot in the first place, though.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I just bug out off, how many, it's just so common for cats to break out on on women that get pregnant now, man. I mean, I'm getting old or something.
No,
it's really
lame.
It's really ridiculous and lame. And I just, you know, I would like personally for myself to say any dude who does that is pretty much a punk in my book.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, you want to talk about society coming apart at the fabric. That's going to do it.
There it is. That's happening right now all around us.
That is it. Yeah. That's what's going to do it. I had my crazy neighbor came by to pay me a visit. Jesus Christ.
Uh-oh. Tell me.
I know it's going to be. He says he listens to the show. All right. First off, he's one of these dudes who wears a tank top that's cut off.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So the belly's showing. This is a week ago.
Did he do?
No. But it's 74 degrees, you know, and I'm thinking, how hot does it have to be for you to cut off your tank top?
Oh,
you know what I mean? You got to be living on the surface of the sun. Since when have you ever put a tank top on, walked outside, and went, whew, it's a little much?
This is that thinking, too.
I got to cut this baby off.
Because it looks good on Arnold Schwarzenegger, it looks good on me.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think every day was casual day for him. So, you know, because it was the middle of the week, and he was swung by the house to see how the construction was going. And,
oh, this is the neighbor in
this
the
is
new
the,
neighbor.
This is the new neighbor.
You get crazy neighbors wherever you go.
I know. I think I blame the realtors. Uh-huh. I really do. And it was one of these things where I'm like, yeah, what are you doing? You know, his mom was sick. He moved back in to take care of her or whatever. He's walking around this cut-off tank top. And he's telling me, yeah, I got a kid. Jesus Christ, I know he's listening. I have to see this guy tomorrow. I got a kid in Atlanta, he says. Hey, he's 13. And I said, dear, what's going on with your kid? You know, he's my son. It's been a lot. I've been out there in 10 years.
Oh,
I go, well, what's the problem? It's an old lady. Booze and Prozac don't mix, he tells me. And he's talking about his crazy ex, right? And I go, what do you think your kid's doing with the booze and the Prozac and the crazy wife?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all you guys out there who have some crazy bitch who's abusing substances or just too crazy. I mean, I've talked to so many guys who've said, what happened? Oh, man, I got out of that bitch. Was crazy, man. She is volatile, man. I can't even go around. She's nuts.
And the poor kids, man, makes it even worse.
Yeah, the poor kids get out. Yeah, so she's so crazy and so volatile and so screwed up, and you leave your kids there and never come back? What the hell is that?
Yeah,
I don't know. Totally I just think not. There's this, I sense like among even people I know, this just detachment from that. There's not really
no
sense of, like, of that being an actual part of you.
Yeah.
Right. And your responsibility.
More than that, no sense of how profoundly painful and damaging that is for the kids.
Or
none.
Yeah. You know, or maybe it's happened to them and they've just covered it up so much that they won't even look at it, because to acknowledge that would be to acknowledge their own pain.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's a combo.
You know, but it's just ridiculous. I mean, I see it so much. It blows my mind again. I'm just sitting here like, whoa.
I know, and it's amazing that these guys are probably more dedicated to whatever football team or basketball team they're following
than their girlfriends. And their girlfriends, I still love him.
Oh, yeah.
I still need him.
Right.
You know, I mean, won't send you a dime and only comes around when he wants what he wants. And
right.
But, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's pathetic. Denise?
So we're going to finish up?
Yes. The guy's an idiot. He really is. I know it's a real hard time for you.
Your expectation of him was totally different than the person he turned out to be.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to deal with that, and you got to deal with him in a very structured, limit-setting kind of way. Don't allow him to run amok. Don't invite him back into your life except in a very structured way.
Okay.
And he will hurt you again.
And he'll screw your kid up, too.
That's for real. I have no doubt about that.
Huh?
Yeah.
I have no doubt about that.
Okay.
And you have no problem. You don't have a problem meeting guys, you know, when you're not pregnant?
No. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't know. I've been with him for so long. And
why have you been playing into this a-hole?
It's been, I don't know if he's going through midlife crisis this early or anything, but I've been with him.
Stop making excuses for him. Why are you even clinging to this a-hole?
I don't know. I've only had two boyfriends my whole life.
Why?
Number two.
Why?
All right.
I don't know. I never really trust men. Right. I guess I used to be a dancer, so
mm-hmm.
I think that I saw a lot of bad things. And
right.
I was, you know, I.
How's your dad doing? You talked to your dad?
My dad passed away about 5 years ago.
Did he do anything to you when you were growing up?
No. My dad was awesome. My dad was great.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Just became a dancer.
I followed in my sister's footsteps, took the easy way out instead of getting a real job.
Both this great man's daughters became censors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think he felt positive about that?
No, I mean,
why would you do that to your dad you love so much?
I'm sorry?
Why would you do that to your dad you love so much?
Well, I was always kind of hard-headed and...
Uh-huh. You sure he was a great guy?
Oh, absolutely.
Where's Mom?
My mom's my best friend. She's around me all the time. She's basically, without her right now, I probably wouldn't be able to get through this.
All right, so wait a minute. Hold on a second. Your mom's your best friend. Your dad's the world's greatest guy. You and your sister both got into the ass-shaking business. And you're pregnant, 31. You're with a sort of a semi-abusive a-hole of a guy. Something ain't matching up here. Now, what is it? Was your dad an alcoholic?
Yeah.
Aha. The world's greatest lush.
Yeah.
All right. That creates some issues for you, Denise. I suggest you look into it.
Oh, I've been going to counseling for years. Before I even got pregnant, I was.
How can you sit there and call your dad the world's greatest dad? How can you do that?
I guess, I don't know. I mean,
listen,
he was never abusive towards me. Or
yeah, he was too loaded. He couldn't get off the sofa. Listen to me. Listen to all you people out there. And my dad was not an alcoholic. He was not physically abusive.
He's been therapy for 20 years.
That's right. I've been beating the crap out of him on this radio show every night for 5 years now because he missed a handful of Pop Warner football games. I suggest you guys start doing the same with your folks. Start beating on him.
You are an asshole.
Thank you very much. Oh, the world's greatest alcoholic dad.
Yeah. It doesn't add up until it adds up, folks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Pull away like an onion.
Yeah, you got it to dig.
Oh, it's perfect. Best friend.
That's right.
Perfect. You're both answers.
What got you in the dance? Well, I followed my sister. And my sister's, my brother got into gay porn originally. opened up some doors for my sister getting into the dance.
You don't have to in that business.
Sure. Too, you know. Who you blow? All right. Everlast is our guest tonight. We'll take a little break. Anderson, are you done pulling all the bad words out of Everlast?
There's not that many. I'm
sorry. Is there anything left?
Is there a song?
We got a 15-second Everlast song right here after this. Yeah. Bloodline. Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Everlast?
I'm getting tacos.
Oh, okay. Should we play Everlast song?
Yeah,
all right. You queued up there, Anderson? Right. Everlast, just keep chilling. That's where we're going to play a song. Sorry. You can find him at the House of Blues tomorrow night. Eat at Whitey's is the name of the CD and the name of this song. What is the name of this song, Anderson? I don't have it on the screen. Oh, Black Jesus? Here it is, Black Jesus.
They call me Christ at home, Black Jesus. Heaven exalted, hell breathing, ego tripping, whiskey sipping, Black Jesus, whiskey tripping, Black Jesus, I keep falling. Yeah.
Good stuff from Everlast.
With whiskeys.
And what'd you say, Anderson? Oh, yeah, what'd I say?
Whiskeys?
Oh, sorry. I looked down. Yeah. You could eat at Whiskeys, too, but Eat at Whitey's is the name of the CD. He's going to be at the House of Blues on the fabulous Sunset Strip tomorrow night. Still tickets available, maybe. I don't know.
There's a lot of tour dates coming up here.
Are there?
Yeah. Seattle, November 18th, Portland, November 17th, San Francisco, the 15th.
The Wallflowers.
Yeah. Sacramento, the 14th, Santa Rosa, Santa Barbara, the 11th, St. Louis, Missouri, the 26th, Minneapolis, November 24th.
How many of these dates are they all with the Wallflowers?
Yeah, all those are with them. I'm out with them for about a month.
San Diego, November 9th, Las Vegas, November 10th.
Wallflowers are good.
Thank you, Adam. That's quite a commercial.
That's right. No, they're good. They're good live band. There's a lot of bands that are you might like, but you don't know until you see them.
Right.
You appreciate them more when you do see them. And Wallflowers sound real good.
Oh, definitely good players, man.
And yeah, good players and nice guys. I think maybe popular is contrary belief or something. Not that they got a reputation, but they seem a little aloof or standoffish or something. It's a really nice guy.
You just got off tour with Santana.
Yeah, I was out with Santana for about a month. That was incredible. It was just a blast.
Was he, what kind of guy is he? He's like really spiritual?
Yeah, he's super just mellowed out, man. He's still a hippie, man.
Really?
Completely, you know, just without drugs right now.
Translation mellowed out, used to do a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
He doesn't smoke weed anymore?
No, I actually tried to a couple times just so I could, you know.
So
you
like,
if you're hanging out with one of the Beatles, you'd want to smoke some, you know,
right,
weed or something. And he just wasn't, he was like that. And my days for that are long gone.
Wow. Well, all right, but you still get the vibe. All right, we'll take a little break. Everlast, our guest tonight. We'll be back with some calls after this.
Floodline of Dr. Drew. Adam's here with Everlast.
Yeah. Too long a beat after Everlast. Sorry. You need it. It wasn't bad. You need one more syllable in there.
All right.
I'm
using your stopwatch next time, right?
No.
Why?
You can't. That doesn't work.
That's cheating?
You have a beat in your head.
That's cheating, huh?
It's going to screw you up.
Thank God for Dr. Drew.
Yeah. You want to try it again? Or okay?
No, I'm fine.
Because I give it a five. Yeah. Give that one a five. Everlast, our guest tonight. You sure?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Way, yes.
I wasn't able to do that one. It's a nice long beat. It's a tailor-made for good radio, where you yell out the time and the call letters and the guest, like right in that little gap there, and pow.
You do it.
All right, I'm going to try. I'm going to try. Hey, I'm Ace Rock, call it Dr. Mix It Up Everlast. Yeah, that was all right. So it's an opportunity to do good radio. We normally don't seize those opportunities on this show, but Drew hit one. What was it? A couple months back?
It was last night.
Yeah, we really nailed one. It was really good radio. Speaking of good radio, we're going to be at the Radio and Television Museum of Television and Radio. That is coming up in a couple of days.
Right? Tomorrow, yeah.
Are people going to go to that?
There is sort of a reserved audience. It's already been sold out.
Sold out?
And?
Right.
Bless you, by the way.
Thank you.
They want to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
I know. They want to watch it. I'm just thinking, think what Adam's going to do when there's a crowd there.
That's just
to F with them a little bit.
Oh, please. Then no one's going to stay that late.
That's the point. If they do, you're going to start abusing them.
I will not.
I
wonder who they are, though.
You know what? I'm curious. Yeah. The last time I saw you in the airport, I remember you thought I was mad at you about something, didn't you?
There was a little bit of confusion. Last time, well, here's what happened. I went to New York. This is an old story, but okay. I went to New York a couple days after Everlast was on the show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And this may be a year or so ago.
Okay.
And I was walking out of a crowded subway. I mean, it was 5:30. We were in like, I don't know, we were in like Soho or something.
Yeah, Broadway and House anyway.
I don't know where we were. And I walked right up a crowded subway stair. And there was, you know, there's just throngs of humanity going left and right. And I smacked right into Everlast. It was bizarre. Mm-hmm. Millions of people walking around and bumped right into him. It was like a day after on the show.
Yeah.
And I said, Everlast, I'm looking for, and then I yelled, the gay street. Whatever the gay street is.
He came up to me and said, where's Christopher Street?
Where's Christopher Street?
I was like, I think it's that way. And just for his information, I was like, just so you know, that's, you know, an extremely, like, gay street. That's like, you know, you'll be fine.
It's gay street, right. Now, is the street itself gay, or is it all the facts that are on it that make it gay?
I'm a little bit of both. I think the street, you know...
The street may go gay eventually. You get covered with enough gay semen, eventually go gay yourself. At least that's something my grandfather used to tell me.
You get touched by any gay semen, and I think you're almost there.
The street has AIDS. The point is I said, where's Christopher Street? And Everlast said... down that way, and he said, like, hey, you know, that's the gay part of town, and I said, that's why I'm here. So, and I said something like that.
You said something like, I think that's where all the best porn is.
I don't know what I said, but the point is my friend told me to meet him at some boxing gym or something that was on Christopher Street,
wow.
And I couldn't find my way. It was Daniel from the Man Show.
Right.
The point is I think Everlast, he'd confirmed all of his worst suspicions were confirmed.
About you.
Yeah, about me.
You're gay.
So then, I didn't talk to Everlast since then, but I ran into a girl he'd been dating, and she said, yeah, I talked to Everlast. I said, he thinks you're gay. I said, why? See, remember you asked him what street that was? Yeah, that's the Key Street. I was kidding around. Oh, no. So then, I didn't talk to Everlast, but we did the Billboard Awards, and when I introduced Everlast, I said, now, a guy who thinks I'm gay, Everlast. And then Everlast, I don't know, maybe was confused, or I don't know, I don't even know if he heard me, but he did his spiel, and then I ran into him at the airport the next day. So Well, Everlast is a scary looking guy. He's on in the airport. There's always a bunch of there's a lot of pretty dicey scene over there. Damn! Huh? Oh, geez, another screwball. Man, show! Where's Jimmy? Where's Drew? Yeah, I thought it was one of those guys, so I hid behind Bill Russell. I hid behind Bill's penis. I pulled it to one side and looked through his legs. I saw it was Everlast, and then went over there and had a nice conversation with him. All right, Anne?
Hi.
You're 27.
I am indeed.
What's up?
I have done the morning after pill thing twice. I can't be on the pill, and I can't use naloxone. I'm allergic to naloxone. So as a result, I use condoms, and I've had two mistakes. I've used the morning after pill.
Great. But what happens with the pill generally?
I tried five different kinds, and I can't remember all the different kinds I had, but I had varying side effects, really, really severe ones. I mean, everything from, like, horrible mood swings to extreme, like, vomiting.
Okay.
I mean, I would, like, have hot and cold sweat.
Okay, got it.
It was pretty bad. Anyway, so obviously I have similar side effects when I do the morning after pill thing.
Yeah, which pill did you do in the morning after?
The one that you do four, and then you do four more.
Four and four, so low overall.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the plan B isn't as likely to cause the nausea and vomiting.
Because I told my doctor when I took it, I said, because the first time that I did it, it was so bad.
You tell him you want plan B.
Okay.
Hey.
And you might also take either some Zofran or some Compazine.
I did Compazine and it didn't seem to make any difference.
Zofran.
What if there's a little confusion where she says, you know, the morning after pill's not working. It's time for plan B.
Right.
And he punches her in the stomach. You know what I'm saying? There could be some confusion.
Before, that's not a very effective method of birth control.
What is it?
Punching someone in the stomach.
No, not effective. Thank you.
No, but that used to be what plan B was.
Yeah. You know, actually, that's part of my brainstorm, actually. While I was on hold, I was thinking that you guys should have, like, a loop that answers all your most commonly asked questions. Like,
right.
You
so people just...
From oral or anal sex.
Yes. If your cousin whacked off in the jacuzzi last summer, you cannot be impregnated and that kind of stuff.
Right, exactly. It would depend on your volume.
Yeah, it's good, right? When people start dropping, you don't have to talk to anybody. That's good. Hey, Ann?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Actually, I'm going to ask this to Drew on your behalf. If you cannot stomach the pill,
yes.
Then you can't take Depo?
No.
And what about Norplant?
Norplant is the same thing. Why can't you take Depo? Have you tried that?
My doctor said don't even try it. She said you're really sensitive to hormones. We tried five different kinds. You are very sensitive to all of them. I would not suggest that you try that.
It's a reasonable thing to tell you since there's no turning back, you know, in the shot.
Right.
And it's great. Why don't you keep prescriptions? I mean, the morning after pill comes in prepackaged little boxes. You know,
I keep it on hand.
All right.
I do have it on hand. Right. The problem is that even with the Compazine, I still have the...
Yeah, but you're using Lovol, which is highly estrogenized. Try Plan B.
All right. I'm going to start lactating if we keep talking about this.
And always the nipple talk.
I like a little nipple play. Uh-huh. You know me. Mike?
Yeah.
Mike? Ooh. Yeah. You're 16. What's up?
Hi.
Wake up there, Mike.
Yeah. I'm here.
Okay. Oh, he's been on hold for 80 minutes.
He's asleep.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
I've got a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I have a polyneidal cyst.
Okay. You guys want to know what that is?
Yeah. What's that polyneidal?
Polyneidal stands for nest of hair. That's what it means in Latin, quite literally. And, you know, you want to get me my...
I don't want to see a picture of that.
No. It won't be bad. I promise.
Everything in that anatomy book adds 10 minutes to my whack-off session when I get home at night. I used to be able to squeeze one off before I got out of the garage. Now it's 13 minutes long, Drew. They're looking at those pictures of the vagina. Yeah,
these occur right about up there.
Staring at a guy's ass.
Yeah, right above everything up in there.
The cheeks
kind of come together.
Yeah.
And these little sort of cysts develop that burrow into the back.
Yeah.
Of your butt area.
And you get a patch of hair?
No, the hair, this thinking is that this debris that gets stuck there sort of causes it to get stuck in there, these cysts, and that causes the inflammation and the continued burrowing, and the whole area has to be cut out.
What about that patch of hair? Because there's this Mexican guy I work with who has a patch of hair.
Beard?
Yeah, like looks like a carpet swatch sticking out of the back of his shorts. Right there, like pow.
Yeah.
Like he took a toupee and tried to steal a toupee. They didn't get him down his pants or something. He's at a toupee shop and he's going to steal a toupee. Just, I always want to say something, but it's like, what am I going to say? Like, put your shirt back on. Come on. But the point is that's not what it is?
No, this is the free debris, not stuff that's already grown out of your back.
I see. And what did they do, cut it out?
They cut the whole area. It's like a big abscess, basically.
Did they cut it out, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had the surgery done last November.
Okay, I see.
And I'm still not healed. I've been going to the doctor every week since.
Yeah, they do tend to recur. Are you overweight?
Yeah.
You might, that tends to predispose to this. You know, wear cotton underwear, loose fitting clothes, that kind of thing helps, and get some weight loss going.
Why? What's the extra weight do? Pinches your ass? You get more crack? What is it? Like, what do you think the ratio is? You think it's like an inch of crack for every 25 pounds you put on?
That's the crack to weight ratio, yes.
Yeah, so your average...
crack to volume ratio.
Right, your average man who's, you know, 5'10 and 170 pounds has, let's say, let's break it down into lineal inches of crack.
That's the standard one. That's the one inch.
Does your crack begin under your balls, or does it begin, or is it the last, like, 3 inches of your ass?
I don't know, Everlast, what do you think?
That's a tough one, man.
The crack that counts,
right,
what counts in this ratio,
right,
is above the anus.
Above the anus. But above the belt line. Some would argue that the crack begins where the underpants stop.
Where
you know what I'm saying?
The crack begins is another man's belt line.
All right. So it does not begin below the balls. It begins above the anus,
That's what you're saying.
Definitely. And that area between the anus and the balls is just sort of a no man's line.
That's no man's line. The other is AA.
Which is?
Above the anus.
Above the anus. Okay, so above the anus where the crack begins. So the average guy from anus to top of crack who's not overweight, I'm guessing...
1 inch over that. The standard.
1 inch over what? Over lap? No, I think it's about 4.5-5 inches of crack from anus to where the tailbone begins.
The ratio is 4.
You got to
convert that over to metric.
Well,
okay, so
20...
It's 70 kilograms...
Now, hold on now.
Put that in 20 centimeters, okay?
No, wait a minute. There's like 25.4 millimeters per inch. So it'd be like 112 or 13 millimeters above the anus. Right. Is this for the scientific community?
Yeah.
It can't work in inches.
The point is about 100 millimeters and 100 kilograms. We have our one.
We have one.
One. One
okay,
is the standard.
One is the standard.
You see?
Right. And then for each 20 pounds that the man puts on, he increases that crack, but I would say 1 inch would be 25%, which would be what, 0.25 now?
There you go.
On?
There you go.
So 0.25.
So 1.25 ratio,
right,
is
25 pounds
overweight.
Oh,
right. So you can predict people's weight by the crack ratio.
Right. I could read
this
crack.
Is wonderful.
Great.
Wow. So, that was educating, man. I feel smarter.
Yeah, you're enlightened, right?
Yes.
You worked that into a song. So I could get a job in a circus where guys just put the cracks through a hole in the curtain.
Spin over.
And I guess, wait, well, that's what Everlast thought I did anyway. All right.
Wait a minute. Mike didn't get to answer his question.
Make some money down on Christopher Street.
Mike?
Yeah.
What was the question?
Well, the doctor suggested to me since it's not healing, they want to try and redo the surgery and stitch it closed.
I don't know about the stitching closed. Did they pack it and let it heal from the inside out first time around?
Yeah.
And it still didn't heal.
Hold on. You had your ass packed by some... When you're passed down?
It's technicality.
I see.
Surgery.
Sound like
it's above the hole. Yeah.
I see. Above the hole.
And, worse. And, Mike, the redo is not uncommon with that procedure. Okay.
How overweight are you, Mike?
Well, I'm about 170 and I'm 5'8".
So it's a 1.75 ratio.
Yeah, 5'8". Yeah. See, yeah, you got about another...
Maybe two.
An inch of crack or so.
Because we have to factor 5.
Right. How much extra crack do you have, Mike?
I have no idea.
Okay. Let's measure that and get back to us. And again, have it converted from inches to millimeters to then centimeters, okay?
Millimeters. We're using millimeters.
Oh, we're using millimeters. Yeah. Sorry about that. All right?
One more thing.
Yeah.
I want to request you hear the Dr. Drew Shuffle. I love that song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe.
You mean the boogie or the shuffle?
Yeah,
the boogie.
He could mean the boogie. Mike?
This show right here is like, have you ever seen those game terrains that are fenced in that the hunters can go and like just shoot a ram and he can't run away?
It's a sock of fun.
That's what this is for you, man.
Yeah.
It's
just, they're getting our crosshairs, these poor confused 16-year-olds, and we make fun of their anus.
Mike?
Woo. Yeah.
You mean the boogie or the shuffle?
The shuffle.
The shuffle, not the boogie. You want the old one.
Yeah.
You, really? You know the difference?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. All right. Well, we've heard the Dr. Drew shuffle quite a few times over the last year or so, but we have not heard the Dr. Drew boogie.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait a minute. We've heard the boogie. We haven't heard the shuffle.
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't we hear that? You got that, Anderson?
Pee on this stick.
makes me sick. Pee on this stick. This makes me sick.
I find you stealing my underwear again. Here's what's going to happen. Asshole.
Stuff like this. Makes me sick.
You're fat.
Asshole.
You're fat.
Can I say that?
You're fat.
You're overweight.
I want to be dominated.
You're gay.
I want to be dominated.
You're gay.
When I was 19, I ate about 4 boiled coyote buttons and stayed up all night but felt no effect. It's called intimacy.
Can I say that?
This is not acceptable.
Can I say that?
You're fat.
Not acceptable.
Pee on this stick.
Not acceptable.
Boiled coyote buttons.
Not acceptable.
You're overweight.
Not acceptable.
Can I say that?
True.
Mm.
You know what that horse is?
My high horse.
That's your high horse.
I haven't heard that in a long while.
That's Drew's high horse getting out of the barn. It hasn't been out in a while. There it goes.
It's the magic of the radio.
I don't like to get stoned and listen to this show. Drew, could you fill in one night? Just do the whole show. I'll go to sit home, get stoned, and listen to it. I won't be on it. Oh, maybe I'll phone in then so I can hear myself. Tom?
Yeah.
Hey, you're 19. What's up?
Couple of things. Adam, you're funny. Drew, you're incredibly smart. Thank you for everything you do for everyone.
Oh, thank you.
Everlast, you just have amazing talent there, brother.
Wow, thank you very much, man.
And one of my questions was for you. On the soundtrack to the movie End of Days, there's a song you have called So Long.
Yeah.
I'm curious, what exactly inspired that song?
A few different things, man. Just like at the time, it was before like the Columbine thing had happened.
Yeah.
And there was like this shooting in Arkansas or something.
Oh yeah, the kids who came.
And I was on tour when it happened, and I was driving through like the backwoods of Virginia, and just kind of caught a vibe that was kind of eerie and kind of truthful, and I just started writing down these lyrics and. I actually had to be talked into putting that song out because I felt like really weird about it. But then, you know,
because you're afraid it might inspire something, or
well, I figured anybody, you know, I mean, with any intelligence would recognize. But it's kind of written from almost a sympathetic perspective of the person who's like in this situation. It's not making excuses. It's just kind of like
related,
you know, walking through the mind of a person who's disturbed, you know, But, you know, I was glad it came out, you know. I mean, it's one of them songs that, you know, it's not going to be something you play at parties, but...
It's so powerful.
Thank you, man. I mean, it was just a vibe, you know. I mean, all songs I write are just like, you know, like I mean, I've been hanging out with Carlos a lot, and he likes to say, if you get the antenna up high enough, you'll get the right signals. And, you know, I just tap into, like, feelings and just kind of write them down, and that was one. And the guy, Danny Lerner from Nine Inch Nails, did the music and produced it, and it was really amazing.
We had someone in here who was out with Santana, and they said that he didn't read music or he didn't sing much. Who was that? Oh, it was Rob from Matchbox 20.
Yeah, he don't sing during the shows that much at all, man. He might get on there and do a little background. He has two singers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's got a real Miles Davis thing going on where he's just playing. He's, like, looking at his band a lot when he's playing.
And, like, back to the audience kind of thing?
Sometimes. Not overt, like, not too much, but, sometimes, like, where he's just directing the band and kind of, like, in it.
Yeah, he's definitely. What is he into? Is he into like Santeria or something, or is it?
As far as I know, it's just he's like anti-religion. He's just about he says, you know, the God or whatever his description of God is like, you know, all the other gods pray to this God.
Right.
You know, and it's like, you know, but he's just like about spirituality, you know, and he's like, you know, all the religions are the same to him. Everybody, his whole thing is everybody's one.
Where does he live? I mean, he doesn't live in L.A., does he?
No, he lives up north, like about a little bit north of San Francisco.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to say the town because I'm not going to get in trouble, but, his whole thing, I mean, he said something to me once that, like, just listening to some of the stuff today, man, blew my mind. Is he was like, you know, my keyboard, we were playing Irvine recently, and my keyboard player brought his daughter out, and he was like, see that girl right there, the little girl, she's like 5. He's like, when you can look, you're like, at another adult in the same way that you look at that child, where you don't want to do anything to hurt this child. You want to give that child the benefit of the doubt in all their situations, and you don't just judge them right away. He's like, when you can look at everybody like that, that's where you got to get.
Wow.
And I was like, that's really his whole philosophy, is like, just treat everybody, give them that same treatment you would give a child that you want to treat precious, like an egg that you don't want to break, you know. And it was like, you know, he's a real deep guy, man. And
I like that.
You know, it's like hanging around him, you get that hippie vibe. You know, I started finding myself talking like him, like, you know, like the angels told me. And I'd be like, it's such a change for me, you know, from the last 10 years of my life, you know, drinking and, you know, just doing craziness to be, like, put in a situation where I'm actually out on tour with a guy like that. And he's been doing his thing for 35, 40 years, and he's still got a pretty good head on his shoulders.
Yeah, and speaking of a pretty good head, to me he looks exactly the same as he did 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's that sort of, I guess when you're not doing a ton of blow and fighting with your manager all the time, or the flight attendant, or...
Really, Adam, get with it.
Oh, how dare you, Drew. How dare you compare me unfavorably to Carlos Santana. The point is there goes the high horse, everyone. Boys, I think that kind of mellow... cosmic existence he has been good to his face. Not so much to his hair, but his face.
I mean, his soul.
He looks exactly the same as he did 25 years ago, at least to me. Of course, I was 10, so I didn't have a real good shot of him. But Todd?
Yes.
Todd, you're 30.
Yes, sir. Long time listener, first time caller.
Great.
Hey, Adam, Dr. Drew, you're great. Hey, what's up there, Everlast?
Hey, how you doing, man?
All right. Hey, I got a 9-year-old daughter, and up until 2 weeks ago, she's been sleeping with me. I get her every other weekend, and there's nothing sexual going on. I just, you know, I love my daughter immensely. Is this going to affect her development?
Yeah, it's a good idea to help her in the individuation process, basically.
I see.
Okay, so to give her the skills to move away from you and to be able to come back and be close to you, but not to be sort of consumed by you. And there's sort of an arousing quality of being in the bed with that. It's just not considered to be a healthy thing.
Oh, you get a boner at night, too, don't you?
If once in a while she needs to be reassured this way, but it's not like you're living in, World War II France. You know what I'm saying? The reality here is she needs the ability to feel comfortable sleeping by herself in her own space. And that's the parenting job, right? It's not, gee, it hurts me to, it's difficult for me to for her to be separate from me. You need to not do what's right for you, but what's right for her.
Exactly. I don't want to stun her normal development.
There you go.
At all.
Do you have a place? You got another bedroom?
Yes, I do.
Right.
It's a weight room right now, but I was thinking about converting it.
Yeah, set it up for her.
Yeah, she's 9. You put her on the bench. She's fine. You get like one of those sandbag weights you put on your ankles for a pillow.
Sit her up on a preacher, bring her hands up.
Yeah, put her to sleep on one of those preacher benches. Yeah. You take that pad you do the sit-ups on, you let her use that as a comforter. Right. It's fine.
Hey, Dr. Drew, you got kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have they ever crawled in bed with you?
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't let them sleep in the house.
It's a constant problem, in fact. You know, my daughter really is pushing on it all the time. It's not good for her. We tell her that. This isn't, you know, once in a while, it's appropriate, and, you know, it's a special thing. But
right.
For the most part, that's not, you know, our job is to do what's good for you. And if you have a room, and it's, you know, we'll help feed you, help you go to sleep. So.
Exactly. One more comment. I read your quote in Time on early pubescence.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, I just said that, you know, again, just to get the context on that, they were pushing me to say that MTV or this sort of provocative material that kids are exposed to might be contributing to early puberty. And basically what I said was that it can't be dismissed. It's possible. We don't know. Nobody's been taking a bunch of primates and giving them a ton of provocative sexual material from an early age to see if that turns on some hormonal system. It makes sense that it would.
So you're saying if you took 100... 12-year-old girls and force them to watch, let's say, reruns of the Andy Griffith Show
versus
the other 100 watching The Grind.
Yeah. Could something happen to the other 100?
The spring break edition of Grind. Could some of the 100 of the 12-year-olds start early into puberty?
That's the question.
I sure want to.
Or is it what's in the chicken and the cow's mouth?
Yeah. Or both.
Yeah.
All right, see, here's the beauty of this country. We poison from inside and outside.
Yes, and
that's
without,
right.
Yeah.
We're a full-service poisoning country. Everlast is our guest tonight. We'll take a little break, and we'll be back after this. Don't get me wrong. I want a V12.
Right.
I want everyone else to be driving stuff that's powered by lightning. You can only drive a damn storm. Hamsters, squirrels, and freak lightning storms is what's going to propel everyone else's car. I'm going to have a 71 Daytona Ferrari with like a 5-liter V12 in it. And six side draft Webers that I have to go prime to get started every day. Just where fuel just spits out of the back. I know we talk about everything, but what we're supposed to talk about on the show. But cars are getting pretty clean now, and you take it for granted. You don't notice it until you're going up the freeway and a guy pulls in front of you in like a 69 Chevelle. And all of a sudden you can't breathe. And you go, my God, I was sucking on this full time as a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the only thing out there, right?
Yep.
When you're driving behind a Honda now, you don't even know. You don't even know there's a car in front of you, right? But once in a while, you get behind a guy in like an old beat-up Dodge Dart or something, and you get behind that guy, and you know it.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of, like, hey, that's how it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you got behind somebody, that's what you were sucking up. That's what happened. That's what happened to the brain cells, Drew.
And that was Zorbeck's bus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got carbon monoxide poisoning in the back of my mom's hippie boyfriend's microbus. Jesus, I should sue her. Zenia?
Zenia.
All right, Zenia.
Is there a flower called Zenia?
Is that a flower?
Yeah, I actually don't know where my name came from.
No. Oh. Do you have hippie parents?
No, they're Mexican.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So they don't. There must be a flower.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Nothing. I just. Oh, Everlast. I love you.
Thank you.
I know it's a little psycho, but oh my God, I love all your songs. They're all beautiful. They're incredible. They're all amazing.
Where are you calling from?
Fresno.
Outside.
She's outside the front door. Waiting.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, though. I really appreciate that.
I was going to tell you to come out tomorrow night to the House of Blues. But
go to the House of Blues tomorrow.
It's a long haul from Fresno.
Well, are we going to be near Fresno? All right, hold on. Let's just see.
Sacramento.
Santa Rosa. Where's that? I have no idea.
Sacramento,
I guess, is the closest to Fresno.
Yeah.
And that's November 14th.
Okay.
Memorial Auditorium.
Hey, that's not too far from Fresno, is it?
Plug.
No.
Yeah. All right, well, you can go see him there on the 14th.
With the Wallflowers.
Yeah, that's a good show.
Well, we're on first. You can leave.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just come back and visit him.
Yeah. You know, I think you can shoot there at live. Yeah. That's right. You get that security guard outfit. You go back. You smuggle the piece in around the metal detector. It's no problem.
The pepper spray and everything, right?
Right. All right, so you want to lavish any more love on Everlast?
I'd love to, but I don't know what to say. I'm just cat got my tongue.
All right, we're going to let you go then.
Okay.
Well, thank you all very much.
So go out the 14th and see him, all right?
I'll try.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Jessica?
Oh, yeah.
You're 16. What's up?
Actually, I just had a comment and a question for Everlast.
Uh-huh.
Okay. First, I'm really nervous, so... First of all, you've inspired me so much, and I admire you so much.
Okay, it's all right. Thank you very much.
And, I don't know.
Are you crying?
I'm just really nervous right now. And, I've loved you, like, forever. House of Pain, everything.
Did you have a question you wanted to ask me?
Yeah, actually I did. I was wondering what the tattoos on your neck stand for.
Oh, okay. It's called Shuyi. It's in Japanese. It's like an ideology or a belief.
What is that? What?
For me, it can be a discipline. And it's just a reminder for me to like try and have discipline in my life and stand up for what you believe in type thing. That's what it's
like. Focus.
About. Yeah, it's a
mantra.
Characteristic. Yeah, I like to... what do you call it? Attribute. You know, I try to live to or up to.
Mm-hmm.
So
both of those mean it, or is that just one big thing?
Oh, it's one more. Yeah, it's one. The two things together make the definition.
That's cool.
But yeah, don't be so nervous. People are people. Don't be getting all phased out by
anybody famous or stupid like that, you know.
Unless I, you know, unless
only Adam.
Yeah, Adam is a superstar.
Adam's different than everybody. But
I'm nervous with Adam, though.
You're not nervous?
Adam.
Yeah, I have my invisible entourage I travel with.
Me too. Yo, they were all over each other that day in New York. You noticed that? I had tons of people with me, too.
Yeah, the whole subway train. hey, Jessica, where are you calling from?
Sacramento.
All right.
Oh, dude, hey.
That seems to be your...
Yeah, I got
that's your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I'll be there the 14th.
You will be?
Groovy.
Yeah.
All right.
Look forward to it. Bring a sign.
Okay.
All right. Put it an arrow saying, remember me.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was a horrible idea.
I would say Adam sent me.
Adam sent me. So it's probably get your ass kicked.
Devlin.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
Okay, I have two questions. Yeah. One really quick one for Everlast. Ever since my older brother introduced me to you from House of Pain, like, I have been crazy about you. I don't know why, but I just...
Are you from Sacramento?
No, I'm from Los Angeles.
Okay. But it's a great compliment, too. I just think you're the greatest. Nobody understands why.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't
understand what it is. Like, I just think, first of all, I think you're, like, gorgeous. But
there you go.
But I think that your songs are just, like, amazing. So, okay, I'm going to, like, a deeper question. I was with my boyfriend for about 2 years, and we started having sex about a year into the relationship. And about 6 months ago, like, my dad left when I was really young, and I went through some sexual abuse as a child.
Uh-oh. At home. Who did that?
I'd rather not say. It was a family member.
Oof.
Okay, so...
Well, your dad left, so... Oh, brother.
Yeah, brother, yeah.
He left when I was, like 11, and, like, he went off and married some, like, really young woman. It was just, like, really, like... It was horrible for me because I understood, you know, what was going on.
Have you reported your brother?
Pardon me?
Have you reported your brother?
It wasn't my brother. Oh. It was a family member.
Well, it was eliminated dad and brother. Grandpa?
Uncle.
Uncle?
No, yeah, it was. It was an uncle.
Yeah, but what, you don't report him.
No, I did. I'm just saying it wasn't my brother.
Okay. I'm saying, I just want to make sure that this guy's not doing that to more kids.
Yeah. Okay, so... Like, 6 months ago, like, my dad walked back into my life, like, out of nowhere. Like, he was living in another country for, like, 5 years.
Yes.
He just, like, walked into my life expecting to make everything better all of a sudden with money and gifts.
Yeah.
And ever since then, like, I don't want my boyfriend to even touch me. And, like, we broke up because of it.
Yes.
And, like, I don't know, like, what to tell him. Like, I don't want to, I haven't told my boyfriend anything. I could have said, oh, my dad left when I was a kid, and that was it. I haven't really told anything.
Why didn't you need to tell him anything? You've broken up.
Well, I mean, like, he wants to get back together, but I'm not sure, you know, like, I'm afraid that if we do, I'm just going to, like, sabotage it again. It's like,
you will. How about a little therapy? I mean, you know, after all you've been through.
I did that thing. I started, like, it's like the week my parents, like, finalized the divorce, I started therapy, and I stopped, like a month before I left for college.
Okay, well, as long as you've completed your therapeutic sessions, as long as you get 9 in,
how old were you when your parents broke up?
Pardon me?
How old were you when your parents broke up?
11?
I was 11.
So it's 7 years.
Well, it's enough.
7 years.
All right, but the point is you're still having a lot of difficulty.
Well, but look, she's pissed at her dad.
Yeah,
she's really pissed.
See them that, like, they're just like, get over it.
And she's 18.
All right,
yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, and she's 18, and she's with this guy that in 2 years, and they should have probably ended anyway, and just brought it down, you know?
Okay, let the relationship go. But listen, how... I know so many people live with this, but what must it be like to be a parent to know that your kid hates you? You know what I mean? And I know to some extent it's a phase and people go through it and all that kind of stuff, but to have your kid, your daughter, you're a bad guy.
Here's the deal. I have a little experience in the parent hating department, just so for my input on it.
Yeah,
not my parents. One particular. My parents broke up when I was like 20. It was long. I was an adult by the time it happened, and I just didn't dig the way my father went about doing what he did. And I spent a lot of time and energy hating him, you know, for a while. And it's really, you're not really doing anything to them that you're not doing twice as bad to yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You don't have to like your dad. You know, you don't even have to love him, but you have to accept the person and whatever's gone on. You know, for me, it was, I just had an issue with the way my parents broke up.
Well,
like, I mean, I'm actually in the stages right now trying to just be like, okay, you're human, I'm human.
Right.
You know, we're all people. You know, I mean, the whole other abuse has so much more to do with it than what I am dealing with my parents. So, you know, it's, but I'm just saying, it's just to be angry and hate, it's just, it's baggage.
It's, it's important to look realistically at one another, at parents and whatnot, to be able to understand ourselves and to be able to complete sort of that process of individuation.
You're on a roll. You're on a roll.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let you go. We'll clean it up in editing, Drew.
That's good. That'll be nice. Get in post.
We have to do a 2-hour and 5-minute show tonight so we can cover for that.
My brain tonight.
Well, wow. That's good. Yeah. Was that the peyote you did in college?
Wow.
Listen, here's what I want to say about this. My sister hated my dad's guts from age 8 to maybe age 31. Or something like that. She hated him. And I didn't like him much either, but I made up with him somewhere around early 20s, and it took my sister another 10 years, because women, they got brains like elephants. They really do. They never forget, and they're spiteful. And my sister was so angry at my dad that, I mean, she was into her 30s, her early 30s, before she was able to sort of reconcile with him. And he was trying for about 10 years, but nothing was good enough. And I realized, you know, that 10 years was not a good 10 years for her.
Mm-hmm.
It was better for him.
Yeah,
he didn't even know it half the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be like, I'd call her and I'd say, you going to go to Lauren's house for dinner? And he'd say, no, she called me and said she wasn't going to do dinner. And then I'd call her and she'd say, that son of a bitch, he canceled dinner on me. And they start twisting stuff like nothing's good enough. You know what I mean? Like once you decide to hate, you start hating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Even if the person says, hey, you want to get together sometime, you'll twist that around into, that son of a bitch, he wants to take me out so we can brag and rub it in my face or whatever. Well, I'm not going to give him that satisfaction. And you're walking around with all this hate. Meanwhile, the other person doesn't even know what's going on.
Yeah. You brought the issue from the parent's perspective, how it would be like to get hated by your kid. If you are doing your job as parents, you may get hated. But as long as you're doing your job, it doesn't matter. If you know you're doing your job well, and as a byproduct of that, there's some anger, some hatred, some acting out goes on, you just got to tolerate that. That's part of the awful job.
Well,
the parenting if you're not doing the job and they hate you, then you got no excuses.
If parenting was a job, my dad'd be in the mailroom. Well into his 40s.
Dumpster,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Corolla, you're in charge of sorting the manila envelopes from the white small envelopes. All right, let's not screw that up. And Monday, that's a work day. You got to show up, brother, before noon. All right, we'll take a little break. Everlast is here. We'll hear something from his new CD when we come back.
My cars.
Are you kidding? I have to shave my basketball court down to half court. I couldn't do that. All right. Well, Everlast is here. We're just talking about the trials and tribulations of life. And from all different perspectives.
Let's play one of his songs before the show runs out of time, right?
All right. We just, you know, I was going to try to get one in the last break, but, you know, we got into a good conversation. We're on a roll. All right. Anderson, we queued up over there? Yes? Yes. All right. This is Everlast's new CD, and this is called I Can't Move.
Sky.
Everlast. Eat It White is the name of the CD. More good stuff from Everlast. And you can find him tomorrow night, by the way, at the House of Blues. And then him.
Throughout November with the Wallflowers.
Yeah. Yes. A very good coupling, Everlast and the Wallflowers. All right. Very ready to round.
I'm ready.
Eva, yeah. Give me your 18.
Hello. Hi, Adam.
Hey.
Hi, Drew.
Eva.
I've been listening to your show since I was like 11.
11 years. What are you talking about?
Old. And this is the first time I called.
Yeah. I used to listen to the show 15 years ago, too, by the way.
Really?
For those of you who don't understand that it's kind of surreal for me to host this show, I listened to the show for many years before I came around.
You were just going through the alumni.
That's right.
That's so cool.
The whole while, Adam thinking to himself, God, I could do the show better than these other guys.
Just, God, I got to stop doing this construction is all I was thinking. But what's
anybody can do radio.
Well, I'm just saying,
well, it turned out to be true, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'm saying that Drew's doing a really good job of like holding his front.
Thank you.
Like all the sidekicks he gets.
Yeah, the sidekicks. Just transient sidekicks.
Actually, I was calling because I'm having a problem with my boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And we just recently like started having sex. And he has this problem that as soon as he gets in me, he wants to come.
He doesn't want to. He has to.
He has to. Well, that's what he says.
Yeah, I know. I know. You think it's a want-to thing. I mean, it kind of gets you angry at him.
It does.
No. That's not something he can control.
It's not?
Right.
No way.
I know. It's not like farting. You know, where guys go, oh, I couldn't help it. And then she said, you could have walked outside.
Yeah.
It's not like that. He really can't help this.
There's no way of controlling it. A
prolonging? Well, like, you know, taking care of yourself and then, you know,
yeah.
Not you, but him taking care of himself and then starting over.
That's right. But the point she needs to understand, though, is that once if he's going to come, he's coming. They can't control that.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But he should be able
that's
to.
That's inevitable. The floodgates are open on that.
But he should be able to take command of his own sexuality. And there's a Corolla method to this.
What's the Corolla method?
Well, something my grandfather brought over from Italy. That's not my real grandfather, Hungarian one. The Corollas were pioneers in broken families. No, I have no idea what Drew's saying. I have perfect control over my penis.
Yeah, but you do it by constant purging of the system.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I flush the system out. So he should masturbate. He should, like Everlast said, he should remove a bullet from the chamber so the gun does not go off so quickly.
But he may have to regularly purge in order to get sort of control.
Yeah. That may not help him, though. Does he go down on you?
Yes, he does. Actually, very well.
All right. So here's another Corolla theory, which is you are on the clock the minute you begin going down on a woman. That's when the sex starts.
I go down on him, too.
Okay, but what I'm saying is if he comes in 3 minutes, that's fine. If he goes down on you for 20 minutes before it starts, then he gets 23 minutes.
And he can maintain for a longer duration while you're orally compensating him?
He can. The problem comes with, like, the quickness, the pace.
Right.
And just the effort.
All right.
Put on a slow record. And tell
put on
him
a slow record.
Beat.
Right. Rub a little coke on his dork and everything will be fine. Thanks. We'll take a little break. We'll be back. Yeah. So it's going like hunting during your lunch break. It works. All right. I want to thank Everlast for coming out here. Eat It Whitey's is the name of the CD. Great CD. Great guy. Always good to see Everlast. And
always good to be here, man.
Yeah, well, you're local, and whenever you're in town,
yeah,
come around.
Yeah, I might just start dropping in, man.
Anytime.
We've had that threat from many a celebrity, Drew, but they rarely back it up.
Only David Arquette.
Only David Arquette.
When you bash him.
I was talking about how completely insane David Arquette is, apropos to nothing, just as if we'd started talking right now about David Arquette and what a nut job he was.
We love him,
but he's clearly...
I'm with David.
He is clearly, you know, insane, and the courts have determined him insane.
Legally.
And there was a knock on this green door
here.
He's
like a fun kind of insane.
Oh,
Robert Downey Jr. kind of insane.
Not crazy. Thinks he's Napoleon insane. You know, good insane. I was talking about this. There was a knock on this door, and the door opened. He was standing in it.
And yelling.
And yelling at me. On the air. He walked in. He was driving by the studio when he heard me saying he was insane. Mm-hmm. He pulled over.
I'm Elmer J. Fudd. I'm a millionaire.
I'm a millionaire. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot, Everlast. And until next time, Santa Crow for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
When I was 19, I ate about 4 boiled peyote buttons and stayed up all night, but felt no effect.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff.